Okay, we're just quickly reviewing the Mishnah, Amakos, Zayin Amabez, and then we'll get the Gemara's going to explain it all. Remember we had a pasuk in the Torah that says, if a person comes to his fellow in the forest, okay, now, Lachtov Eitzim, to chop trees, V'nidcha Yado, and his hand swings, Bagarzen, the axe, Lichrosa eitz, to cut the tree. Now that eitz, that word eitz, clearly means a tree. All right, just remember that. It's going to come into play. That word eitz clearly means a tree. Now, v'noshal habarzel, mino eitz. One way of reading is, and the iron slips off of the eitz, off of the wooden handle, okay, and kills the person. He goes into exile. So you read it that way, v'noshal, it means that the metal flew off, killed the guy, that's when you go into exile. So that's the word noshal, is an intransitive verb. Okay? That's one way of reading it. On the other hand, you can find another explanation. As you'll see in a... Yeah. And that, or does it mean that the axe head dislodges a chip of wood from the tree? And there, the word nun shin lamed is an intransitive word, means to causes to slip off, okay, from the tree. Rather, it means... It's transitive verb means to slip off the chip from the tree. Depends how you're going to look at that word, nun shin lamed. That's the critical point. Now, the way it is written is the letters nun shin lamed. Nun shin lamed. How is it read? The Masorah is you read it to say no shall. When you lane it from the Sefer Torah, you read it no shall. No shall means that it slips off. It slips off the wooden handle. That's what noshal means. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Okay, so if it slips off the handle and kills someone, Rebbe Omer ain't a goler. Rebbe says does not go into exile because he says that's not what the pasuk means. V'chachamim omrim, but the rabbis say goler, he does go into exile because that is what the pasuk meant. Then, what about mina eitz amifkak peya? What about if a chip of wood comes from the tree that was being chopped? Rebbe says that's what the pasuk's saying. Rebbe Omer Gola, he goes into exile. V'chachom remain a goal. Rabbi say he doesn't go into exile because that's not what the pasuk means to say. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, we're going to have a brisa that's going to elaborate specifically on Rebbe's questions that he asks the Chachamim, where Rebbe feels that his interpretation of the pasuk makes more sense. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rebbe gives two reasons why his interpretation should be better than the rabbi's interpretation. Amar lahem Rebbe lechachamim. Rebbe says to the chachamim, "V'chi nemar, does the pasuk say v'noshal habarzel me'eitzo? Does the pasuk say, and the iron slips off of its wood? If the metal part is on the handle, then the iron is slipping off." Not just a piece of wood, but its piece of wood, because it's connected to it. Yeah. It's connected to it, right? Yeah. If you're saying the handle is flying off the metal is flying off the handle, it's flying off its piece of wood. Handle. Yeah. Its handle would say may eight so from mm-hmm. its handle. But that's not what the buzzing says. It says the metal flies off from the wood. No idea of a handle at all. Just eights. Hence the word eights signifies not the axe's wooden handle, but the tree being chopped. The verse thus means that the axe caused a chip to be propelled from the tree and kill someone. If so, the verb nun shin lamed must be transitive, referring to the effect of the axe on the tree. Question number one. Question number two, V'od, how would we normally want to translate the word eitz? Remember I told you what the first time it said eitz meant. What was that? He's chopping it from the eitz, from a tree. Right. First time the word eitz means a tree. And then you got a couple words later, you have the word eitz again. Mm-hmm. So Nehemar, it says eitz lamata, it says eitz below. In this clause that we're disputing over here, it says v'noshal min ha'eitz. So we're not sure what that means. But look a few words before. V'nemar eitz lamala, but it says the word eitz a little bit before. Here's the pasuk again. V'nidcha yadav ha'garzen lichros ha'eitz. He swings at to cut the eitz. What's the eitz there mean for sure?
The tree.
V'nashal ha'barzel min ha'eitz. You have the same ha'eitz. So shouldn't the same ha'eitz be the tree and not a handle of it? Right? You see the things? So ma'eitz ha'omer lamala, just like it mentioned tree the first time, it meant min ha'eitz ha'mispakeh, from the tree that's being chopped. So af eitz ha'omer lamata min ha'eitz ha'mispakeh. It'll also mean the tree that's being chopped. Okay, follow? So therefore, that's pretty good. Now, see a little footnote. The reason why the sages reject Rebbe's arguments will be given later on. How are they going to answer that? That's another question. But remember, Bryce doesn't have everything. That's all that Bryce says. So that's Rebbe has two proofs from the text that he's right. What the rabbis will answer, we'll see later. End of the Bryce. Now comes along Rav Chiya bar Ashi, and Rav is going to say, let me tell you what really this machlokas is focusing around. Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Rav. Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Rav says, now, very important, the following analysis is not intent to supersede the reasons given in the preceding brisa, but to supplement them. Okay? What's the machlokas really toluyin? Ushneim mikra echadorshu, they both are disputing how to read one pasuk, interpret the pasuk. And this is the pasuk. Now, everyone agrees, you pronounce the words as v'noshal habarzel min ha'eitz. When Morty lanes from the Torah, he has to lane it exactly the way it says, v'noshal habarzel, and all we're going to translate is v'noshal, the iron from the wood. V'noshal, the iron from the wood. Okay? Now, Rebbe's over. Now we come to the big, big, big machlokas. Rebbe Savar Yesh Aim Lemasaurus. Rebbe says that there is, literally, it means there is a mother to the Masaurus. That's the literal, but that's not how we explain it. We look at the word A means the primacy, the primary. How do we look at it? When we're looking at a pasuk, the primary way we're going to look at it when we're trying to expound the pasuk is based on the Masaurus. What's the Masaurus? The way the word is written, but not necessarily how it is pronounced. We look at the letters. What would the letters, the way they're written, say? Even though that's not the way Hashem told Moshe to read it from the Torah. Okay? Let's take a look at this important footnote. The Masaurus. What's the Masaurus? It literally means the transmission. He notes the way each word of the Torah should be written, as transmitted to Moshe at Sinai. That's the Masorah. Hashem says, I want you to write this word and spell it this way. Nun, Shin, Lamed. Okay, that's the way it should be written. Even though it could be suggested, when you write it a certain way, you might read it a certain way, but you're going to write it this way, even if we're going to read it a different way. Okay, now you're looking, you're like, what are you talking about? You read it the way it's written. Well, not necessarily. Sometimes God will tell us to write it a way that it's not the way it should be pronounced. If you're pronouncing it a certain way, it should be written a little differently. Okay, but God said, I want you to write these three letters. Vav, Vit, Nun, Shin, Lamed. Write those letters for me, please. And Moshe would say, well, Nun, Shin, Lamed should be pronounced Nishel. That's how it should be pronounced. I said, but no, you're not going to read it that way. You're going to read it Noshal. Because although you might find that hard to believe, Noshal should be spelled Nun Aleph Shin Lamed. Not, that's how it should really be. Noshal would be Nun Aleph Shin Lamed. So if you look at the three letters, you figure it says Nishel. Hashem says, no, we're going to read it Noshal. We're going to write it Nishel. We're going to write it Nun Shin Lamed. God tells him, you're going to write it this way? Now, 99.9% of the time, Hashem says, write it this way and pronounce it the way it looks like it's written. But a few times, you don't have it that way. God says, write it this way. But when we're going to read it, when you're going to verbalize, you're going to verbalize it differently. Now, the point is, so why is God doing that? Because he wants us to learn from the way it's written, sometimes superseding. Not, that becomes the question when we're trying to interpret what a pasuk means. So where are we going to make our drushes from? So since the Torah is written without vowels, the apparent way to read a word might differ from its correct pronunciation. When you see the letters Nun, Shin, Lamed, and I don't give you any clue of what the word is saying, common logic grammar says Nishel. 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 If you wanted to say Noshal, it should have been spelled Nun, Aleph, Shin, Lamed. That's what it is. Now, when such a situation, so since the Torah is written without world, the apparent way to read a word might differ from its correct pronunciation. Okay? When such a situation arises, like over here, it's written Nun Shin Lamed, which we would normally pronounce it Nishel, but Hashem says pronounce it Nashal. There's a question whether we derive laws from the apparent reading of the words written for them or from the proper pronunciation. That is the debate. Although both the written and pronounced forms of Torah were given to Moses and transmitted from generation to generation, the written and the pronounced, right? It is the written form that the Gemara calls Mesoras. Even though they're both Mesoras, really, but the one the Gemara uses as a tagline, Mesoras, handed over, is the way it was written. Why? Since Moshe literally handed over the Torah scroll. He handed it over. He wrote it for them. What do they have in their hands? The Torah scroll. Of course, he told them how to read it too. But the primary, what we call Mesorah, is the way the letters are written. The pronunciation was taught to them orally and was not physically handed over. I'm trying to make the point is, they're both Mesorahs. They're both the way you write, but the Gemara is choosing, because it's got to figure a way to differentiate between the two. So Masor literally means to hand over. So I can hand over a Sefer Torah. I can't hand over how to pronounce it. It's not literally handing over. I can teach you how to pronounce it. I didn't hand anything over to you literally, although I'm telling you how to read it in the future. That's why they choose to say Yesh Aim L'Masor. So if you have Masores, is the way it was given, written in the Torah. That's one way. Alternatively, we could say the written form is termed Mesoras because its details were transmitted and carefully preserved by a select group of scholars in each generation. In other words, generation, right? Because you had to be a sofer. So they got to say, listen, be very, very careful how you write it. Because if you miss one letter, one little gets puzzled. Now, of course, we should have been just as careful in how we pronounce it. But that won't invalidate a Sefer Torah. I can all day long read it the wrong way, but as long as I wrote the letters correctly, it's a kosher Sefer Torah. So that's another way of calling it the Mesorah, because what has to be the letters have got to be the same. Got to be the exact, precise letters. You're an Amoritz, you don't know how to pronounce it? You're going to be a Sofer Amoritz, and you write it correctly, and you read it terribly. You can't even read, but you got every letter right. That's the most, those letters, that's the core. Okay, we're not minimizing how you pronounce it, chas v'shalom, but we just have to have the terminologies. We've got to use terms to differentiate between the two. So we're saying the way it is written, yesh aim le mesoras. The way it is written, that's the way it's given over. So Rebbe says, the way it was given over, it was written, nun, shin, lamed, and therefore, when it's time to try to understand the pasuk, even though we're going to read it noshal, but that's not the way it's written, when we're going to expound on it, we expound by the way it's written. Written should be pronounced. If you just look at the letters, it will be pronounced nishal. Nishal means causes something else to fly. Right? Even though we read it noshal, but noshal is not spelled nun shin lamed. Noshal is spelled Nun Aleph Shin Lamed. Noshal. You have to know grammar. I know you're wondering, what do you mean an O? I said, oh, what do you mean an O for? It's a whole complicated grammar. Just trust us over here on this. Yeah, but if you just see Nun Shin Lamed, it should say Nishal. Right? So since the letters are Nun Shin Lamed, and now when we have to expound on it, and now you could say, God, why don't you make it simple? If you meant Noshal, say Nun Aleph Shin Lamed and tell us to pronounce it Noshal. And if you wanted Nishal, spell it Nin Shin Lamed and Tosa pronounce it Nisho. Well, God doesn't do that. He doesn't make it easy. So he makes it a very complicated way to open up ways, because there's a simple meaning, and then to expound on different meanings. You have this by Sukkos. You know, how do we know you have to have three walls? Because it writes the word Sukkos a few times with a vav, without a vav, and really it shouldn't be with a vav. I don't, but we derive halachas from this. Now, why God did it that way, you can ask God. Remember, why didn't God make everything crystal clear in the Torah? Because life isn't crystal clear. So you have to analyze everything. So just like life isn't clear, the Torah obviously not clear. But that's Rebbe's opinion. Yesh eim lemasores. We look at the way the letters are written. What would that suggest the reading to be? Even though that's not how we're going to read it, it would suggest nun shalom is nishel. Nishel means to cause something to fly off. That's what the Torah means. That's when you go into exile, when it causes.
Nishel means what? No shalom.
It flies off. The axe, the metal, the metal flies off. It flies off as opposed to it causes something. Okay, that's the difference. That's why when you're laning, you have to know when the mistake in the dots changes the meaning and when it doesn't. Mm-hmm. All right? So Hashem said, I want you guys to always read it in Nashal, even though the letters would suggest Nisha. So Rebbe says, we go with the Aim Lemasaurus, the way the letters are written, the way it would suggest to be pronounced, even though we don't read it that way, and therefore the way it would be suggested, it means that it causes a chip to fly off. That's Rebbe's opinion. And therefore, I've jumped ahead. V'ni shel ksiv. And in our case, it's written. What it means, it doesn't mean say written with a yud, but it means pronounced nishel, which means to cause to fly off. In the Torah, the word appears with three letters. Nun, shin, lamed. I already kind of spoke this out. But if one reads it as nashal, one is in effect reading it as though it were placed with an aleph or a hey, nashal. That, if you read it, that's how it should be pronounced. You know, when you're writing, I have to write in my son's ksuva, Bronx. How do you spell the Bronx? How would you spell Bronx? No, in Hebrew.
It's a ksuva.
So it's Beis Reish Aleph, Bronx. Beis Reish Aleph Nun Kuf Samach. You have to put an Aleph in it. What's an Aleph doing over there? Because that's the proper way to say Bronx. All right? And New York. You know, it's not like you would think. So therefore, if you wanted really to read it in Nashal, it should be written differently. Thus, according to the written form which omits the hair Aleph, it should read Nishael. Right? Even though we don't read it that way, but that's what the letters are suggesting. The form Nishel has a transitive sense, which in this context referred to the effect of the axe on the tree. The axe caused the chip to shoot out of the tree and strike someone. We're going to leave the Ritva out. It's complicated enough. That's Rebbe's opinion. For Rabbanan Savri, the opposite. Yesh Eim LaMikra. There is, we give primacy to the way it's actually pronounced, the way Hashem told Moshe to pronounce it. And we don't worry about the way the letters were written. And God said, you pronounce it, noshal, regardless of how it's written. And therefore, God told Moshe, v'noshal karinan. I want you to read it, noshal, even though the letters don't suggest it that way. According to the sages, there's no choice but to expound the word the way it should be pronounced, the way God said, Nun Shin Lamed, even though that should not, it should pronounce Nishel, but God said, I want you to pronounce it as Noshal, as an intransitive verb, which refers to the axe itself. Hence, regardless of Rebbe's argument to the contrary, the verse must mean that the axe head slipped off its handle. Because that's what the word Noshal means. So therefore, although in the Brisa, Rebbe had two logical reasons how we should say it means it caused the chip to fly off because it said eights before and all those things. He says, good and wonderful. But guess what? God said pronounce it this way. Finished. God said pronounce it. Noshal, it means to cause something to fly off. That's how we have to learn the pasuk. We give primacy to the way God told us to read it. And that is what the machlokas hinges on. Not bad. It wasn't so bad. Okay. That's the machlokas. How are you going to look at this pasuk? Nun, shin, lamed. Now, why God did that and all kinds of things, that's a Parsha class for another time, to the philosophical stuff behind it. That's a whole other thing. Okay, so we basically, that's the Machlokas. Rebbe says, Yesh Eim L'Masoris. We go with the Masorah, the way the letters are suggesting the way it should be read. The rabbis say, no, we go by way the way God told us to actually read it. Now the Gemara just asks a simple question. Gemara asks, wait a minute. So you want to say that's what the Machlokas depends on, eh? But now Gemara has a bomb kasha. For Rebbe Yesh. Now remember, let's back it up for a minute. Who's saying all this? Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav sees them argue about this. He assumes that this is the Machlokas, depending on this. He said, how can one guy say the axe handle? And I went, well, look in the Pasuk. You'll see, you know, Nun Shin Lamed. What does it mean? Causes it to fly off, or it flies off itself. Oh, well, we know. The Gemara knows it's a big Machlokas in Shas. Do we say Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMikra? It was a well-known argument. There's many rabbis who weighed in on it. Number of rabbis said this, number of rabbis said that. So what did Rav do? He said, listen, I got a machlokas here by the wood chip or whatever, the pus. I got two machlokas. And I know there's a big machlokas out in Shas. You go by the way it's read or the way it was written. So he put two and two together, figured, oh, Rebbe holds Yesh Eim L'Masoris. The rabbis hold Yesh Eim L'Mikra. That's what Rav assumed. The Gemara now says, I'm sorry, not a good thing at all. Why? Let me just back it up. Gemara now asks, how could you say this? For Rebbe, Yesh Eim L'Masoris, do you mean to say that the reason why Rebbe says what he says is because we go with the way it would be suggested, the way it's written, and the way that would suggest to read is Nishal? You can't say that Rebbe holds Yesh Eim L'Masoris. You know why? Turn the page. Guess I'm an elf. V'amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Rav Yochanan, Bisma Yosef, Rav Yochanan said, and he did his investigative reporting, and he decided to list all the rabbis who say Yesh Eim LaMikra. You go by the way it's God told us to read it, the way to read it, not the way the letters are there. But
how to pronounce
it, not the way the letters are written, and who's on that list? He says the following: Rebbe, number one; Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz, number two; Ube Shammai, number three; Vereb Shimon, number four; and Rabbi Akiva, number five. These are big heavyweights here. These five rabbis hold, coolest, but they all hold Yesh Eim L'Mikra. We go by the way it's pronounced. That's not what Rav explained the position of Rebbe. You follow? So how can you say that's the Machlokes? Right? Yisro Bar Yosef's teaching found in Sanhedrin. We learned that in Sanhedrin a long, long time ago, where he demonstrates that each term attached primacy to the pronounced form. So Rav's explanation is Achlokes is out. Because he also, Rebbe also says, you go by the way God told you to pronounce it. And God said, pronounce it Nashal, which means it's flying off the handle. So how can you explain? So that cannot be Rebbe's explanation. So very good. So now we got to fall back on that brisa. Why are you furring your brow? Rebbe's holding Yesh Eim L'Mikra. We go by the way God said we should pronounce it, not by the way it is written. Yeah. And pronounce it. Noshal means it flew off the handle. And Rav was saying that wasn't Rebbe's explanation of why he says the opposite. Some more answers. Okay, I guess Rav's out of business. The more answers, Hainu da Kamerle ve'od. And that's why precisely in the Brisa, remember the Brisa we quoted? Rebbe said to the rabbis, and furthermore, remember that Brisa gave two reasons why he felt the text is better, right? Rebbe gave a second reason for his position. Since Rebbe holds that in general the pronounced form has primacy, he found it necessary to give an additional reason for switching to the written form in this case. In other words, it's the Brisa's logic is what Rebbe's all about, and it's not about whether Yesh Eim L'Mikra, Yesh Eim L'Masoris. According to, remember, back to that Brisa, Rebbe gave two proofs from the text. Remember, it said, it didn't say, so from its tree, it just said eights. And then before it said eights, meant the tree. Second time eights has to also be the tree. So he gave two reasons. According to each of the two reasons given in the Brisa, the verse means that the axe propelled a chip of wood from the tree. This interpretation, however, is not viable unless the verb nun shin lamed is read as nishel, which is possible only according to its written form, right? But that's not what Rebbe holds. No. Since this runs counter to the general rule that the pronounced form has primacy, a position which Rebbe himself subscribes, now we said he holds, you go, God said to read it. God says, read is nashal, but according to his, it doesn't work. Each reason would have to justify treating this case differently from the rest of the Torah. Rebbe held that the first reason alone provided the justification, but since he was aware that other scholars might disagree, he added the second reason. In other words, he agrees, we got to go by the way God told us to read it. But I understand why God told us to read it, but it doesn't make sense in this text. It just doesn't make, you can't read it, the wording doesn't fit in at all. So since it doesn't fit in at all, and that's why one reason wasn't good enough. Why do you give a second? I got to give two reasons to show that it goes against. I normally agree. God told us to read it. Nashal. I agree. We got to read it. Nashal. That should be the primacy. But it can't be the primacy over here because the way the pasuk is set up and the other words do not lend the translation viable. That's why he says, and I give you even a second. Why do you have to give a second reason? You gave one reason was enough. One reason was enough. I'm going to give you two reasons why you can't use Nashal. Even though I normally say God told us to read it this way, but for whatever reason he told me to read it this way, that cannot be what the pasuk means. Because it would have said from its handle, didn't say that, and it wouldn't use the same word eights twice that's referring first one to the tree, second one to the handle. So the text has to be understood. Nishel, even though God told us not to write there. And normally I give primacy to the way God told us to pronounce it, but I can't do it in this situation. So at the end of the day, the machlokas is not because if yesh eim lamikra, yesh eim lamasoris. Even Rebbe agrees, yesh eim lamikra. We give priority to the way Hashem told us to read it.
Pronounce it.
How to pronounce it. But in this case, we can't because I got two logical reasons not. Okay, amazing. Okay, got that clear?
Yep.
Guess who we rule like? The ruling? No, the Chachamim. You generally go with the Chachamim. We rule like the Chachamim. Okay, now that we rule like the Chachamim, therefore the case is what? The case is where it flew off the handle. And therefore, and what happens if the wood chip goes off? You don't go into exile. You don't go into exile. Now, so it comes out. Now, this is going to be a segue into the next piece of Gemara. Now, let's think about it. You don't go into exile. It flew off the handle. Now, flying off the handle, what really happened? When I did this, that's my force. The force of my hand killed that person. Right? I went, whoop, and the thing went flying. If I didn't do this, the metal wouldn't have flown, wouldn't have killed the guy. It's my direct force killed him. Mm-hmm. But the rabbi said, but when you're chopping wood, it's not my direct force that kills him. Mm-hmm. I chop, and then a secondary force of the chip kills him. Yeah. It's not the direct, it's the indirect force. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
When I swing the axe handle and the metal flies, the speed, velocity, all these things came from me direct. When I chop the wood, the chip goes flying. It's not direct. It's indirect. We'll see in a minute. You'll see. And
but that's two different situations. The one where you...
I understand, but it's not...
Chop, yeah.
But it's a secondary.
You chipped off a tree, so the two different situations.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why you don't go into Golis in that case. But it's a secondary force.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you see a difference? If I'm throwing some, it's my direct force. It's a direct force. Here, my force is going into the tree. Okay? Now, it happens to dislodge something, so it's a secondary. It still comes from me, but it's not as a direct. It's more of an indirect force.
It's like climbing up the ladder.
I don't know, my force hit the tree. Now, from that came a secondary. You have to understand, when I throw something straight at you is one thing. If I throw it against the wall and it hits somebody, that's lessened. It's indirect. Yeah. If I take a ball and throw it right at you, that's direct. Yeah. If I throw it at the wall and then it hits you, it's a second. Yeah. The second one's different. And that's what the next part of the Gemara is going to suggest. Yeah?
So, quick note, like, if you actually read the pasuk, it sounds like the guy hit the tree and the axe head flew off after hitting the tree. If you read the pasuk itself.
After it hit the tree?
Yeah. The axe hit the tree and the axe head flew out somewhere.
No, because it would have said eight so. It would have said may eight so. It flew off may eight so from its handle. Yeah. Right? And the first time it said eights meant the tree. Yeah. And the same word ha'eight should also mean the tree.
Yeah.
So it's the pasuk doesn't read good either way. But if you pronounce it as Nishel, it would work a lot better. It would work a lot better. So he's saying we got to understand it as Nishel, even though I never would do that. I never would do that. But I'm forced to do that. Which Rebbe always says, you know, all things being equal, I'll go with the way God told us to pronounce it. Yeah. I go the way God told us. But it doesn't work this time because everything else in the pasuk doesn't agree with it at all. Even if you're going to say, I'm going to do the way you told me to read it, but the rest of the pasuk doesn't make sense. So that you can't do it that way. And those situations, he said, I can't go with the Yesh Eim Lamikra. The words will not fit in. And if they don't fit in, then you can't say no. The rabbi said, no, I don't care if the words fit in or not. We go the way God told us to do it. And that's all. We got problems with the words. You got problems with the words. All right. Let's see if we can get a little bit more. We can run it to the Mishnah. So when Rabbi Farkash takes over, he'll start fresh. The next is very easy part next. Omarav Papa. So now we're going to conclude the discussion with a related issue. Man just shot a piece of a guy threw a clump of earth at a palm tree.
Okay.
For us at Tamri, and now a date was dislodged. For Uzzle Tamri, the date proceeds to kill somebody, a baby, because usually a palm branch date doesn't kill regular people, it kills a baby. So wouldn't you say that's the exact same machlokas of Rebbe and the Rabbanan?
Yeah.
Chopping a tree. Yeah. So he says, "Baner l'machlokas to Rebbe Rabbanan." This is exactly the case that parallels Rebbe the Rabbanan. Rebbe would say, "You go into exile." The rabbis say, "You wouldn't go into exile." So the Gemara says, "So you just discovered a miracle over here? Pshita, isn't that obvious? Why do you have to tell me that? That's so obvious that I don't even need to hear that." So the Gemara says, "Well, it's not so obvious. Mao did say, I might have thought that this case is a little bit more removed." I would think that in the case it's considered a secondary force. You might have said that the death caused by the date is treated as one resulting from his secondary force rather than his primary force, and consequently even Rebbe would exempt the perpetrator from exile in that case. Right? In several areas of law, including killing, the halacha recognizes only an outcome affected by a person's direct primary force. An outcome affected by his less direct second verse is not attributed to him. Thus, one is liable for murder only if consummated the deed with his primary force. In the worst case, it is possible to think that though the cloud of earth carried the perpetrator's primary force, the dates, that the cloud of earth was the primary force, and the dates which decides were driven by his secondary force. You might have thought that, since it was not the perpetrator itself, but his projectile that struck the dates, they could be viewed as having been propelled by him indirectly, and therefore he wouldn't be chayev. Rebbe wouldn't make him chayev. Maybe that's too indirect. If so, this case would be different from that of the woodchopper, because the woodchopper was in direct contact with the chip when he sent it flying. That's the difference. So you're right, Shelley. It's pretty much the same. It is more direct. Hence, it is though he threw the chip with his own hand, giving its primary force. Case dates, however, he was no longer in contact with the cloud when it dislodged the dates. Sure. Maybe Rebbe would say you're potter then, because that for sure will agree is indirect. All right, so maybe I think that Kamash Malan, that's why we mentioned he's still gonna say you're chayiv kolus for that, even though you'd think it's not gonna make it. So, okay, so according to Rebbe, when are we gonna get a real case of koch indirect? He's saying that's not even indirect. Rebbe's saying that's not even indirect, he even holds that's direct. So Ella Koch Ella Rebbe, how would you have a case of mamish indirect according to Rebbe? Even Rebbe would agree you don't get into exile. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. We pass like chumim anyway, right? But according to Rebbe, kigon deshada pisa, you threw a clump of dirt, umichya lagarma, and it hit a twig. va'ozel garma, and the twig went umechaylich va'asa and hit a cluster of dates. Va'asa tamri, and now the dates dislodged. Va'ozel tamri, and then they came and killed. Here, Rebbe would agree that that's a secondary force, and he would not be exiled. Rav Papa's teaching indicates that even after one has thrown a missile and it strikes another item, the second item carries his primary force, according to Rebbe. Once the second projectile hits a third object, however, that's called the secondary force. So therefore, we have Rebbe, the Chiddush is that when you throw it once and it hits and the thing goes straight down, that still would go into Golos, according to Rebbe. That's still considered his primary force. While what would be a secondary? Hitting one thing hits another, and the other thing kills somebody else. Be that as it may, we hold like the Chachamim, and we say it's only when the axe goes flying off, and when the tree, it does not go into exile for that, and all the other cases the same. Okay, next week.